Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Talking about our evangelism, we'll not be going in and continuing evangelism discipleship series. We will get back to that. And I should learn to say, if the Lord's willing, next week we'll continue. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, but we will, if the Lord's willing, continue that, pick back up next week. But this morning, for those that were here, and if you won't, that's fine, but I'm going to let you know, this morning, I actually taught in the Healing Center and this morning, and I never finished. I'm not sure I'll finish tonight, but that's all right. But I'll get a part out that I think is very valuable and important for us to understand. So what I told everyone at the end of the Healing Center is I haven't finished, and of course Pastor Debbie will be back next week on the Healing Center. So I said, here's what we're going to do. Come back tonight, we'll continue the teaching. And the reason I'm doing this is because I believe what I shared this morning is vital and important to all. Amen. And so what we talked about this morning was, I entitled the message, Submit and Resist. And we find where I want us to turn again tonight is James chapter 4, verse 7. This is our launching verse from this morning. And as we read this, it says in James 4, 7, it says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. So I picked these two words, resist, I picked these two words, submit and resist. And this is what we talked about this morning. And actually, what are you talking about, Pastor Chris? Well, I'm really talking about the authority of the believer. And so what I want to, if you're doing a title tonight, you could just call it Understanding Our Authority. But we want to begin tonight by looking at this verse once again, because obviously the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is speaking to the church. And here's what he said. He said, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So there's two things we must understand. We must understand what submit means, and we must understand what the Bible says resist means. So let's define those two words. First of all, submit means to surrender, to be in submission to. Now, who are we supposed to be in submission to? Obedience to God himself. Amen. It means to be under authority of or to another. And that means we need to be under the authority to, or under the authority of God and his word. Amen. That's what it's saying. So if we look at this word resist, notice it says submit first. Before we're going to do something about the devil, there's a reason that we must do this first part. Submit ourselves to God. Surrender to. Be in submission to. To be under authority. Because we found this morning, I don't have time to teach this, but first, we're to first be under God's authority. And when that tells us when we are, then what happens is that things also get under our authority. And so, but it comes first by us being under God's authority. Now, secondly, the word resist means this. It means to stand up to stand against, to stand with, to withstand or to oppose or to say no to. Now, obviously, to be able to do any of that means that we can. God is telling us we can do all of that. And who to? The devil. One translation says, submit yourself to God and yell a loud no to the devil. And so it means that we can actually have and exercise authority against the devil. That means that he obviously isn't greater than the authority that we have. But we have to understand the authority that we have and the authority that's been given to every believer. Amen. And so think about it. It's, you know, the only way we could resist the devil is if, as believers, we actually have authority over him. So what I want to do is tonight, now, that may be something that you know, and you say, well, that's old news to me, Pastor Chris, I know that. Well, good, I'm glad you do, but not everybody does. And just because you do don't mean that you're exercising authority over the devil. It's obviously everybody's not, because exercising authority of the devil doesn't mean that you'll never have a problem. It just means that when problems show up, you got answers for it. You got something to say about it. It won't stop all problems. I mean, it will not prevent all problems, but it can stop all problems. In other words, learning to exercise authority. But what I want to do is I want to pull the veil back and talk about something that I think it will cause that faith to grow. When we understand who is an authority, what I'm going to do is talk about two questions. Where does authority come from, and who has it been given to right now? Because I believe when we understand this, it produces faith in our heart. It causes us to have a whole new level of understanding and appreciation, and the result will be us using our authority. Amen. Because when we understand it, that's when we use it. You know, just because, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of people, see, it's knowing and understanding. A lot of people know things. I hear people say, you know, yeah, I know that, but it's knowing and understanding that makes the difference, because it's what we do with what we know. And see, the first step is information, knowledge, but it doesn't stop there. You need understanding or revelation. You need a revelation or understanding of what that says. That inspires us to do it, because we see how to do it. Not just to make a statement that you have it, but if you don't know how to use it, then it doesn't do you any good. So I believe that by understanding where does authority come from and who has it been given to now, right now, that it will help us. So obviously we want to turn, well, not obviously, because you may not realize that, but you will. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to turn there. We'll get there in just one moment. But in chapter 1, it is actually the story of creation. And so what I'm not going to do is take time to go through all the story, but it would help us to understand that God created everything by his words. God said and God saw. God said and God saw. And that's important, because we find out in verses 26 through 28 that God created us in his likeness, in his image. So one of the things that this means for us is that the same way God created the world is the same way that we're going to create our world through our words. Jesus said, and you can write it down, then I'm going to put it up, Matthew 12, verse 37, words are powerful, take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. Excuse me, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So tonight, we want to look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And here's what it says through 28. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Notice, after our and in our, both times. In other words, this is a conference call between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, known as the Trinity. Okay, this is a Trinity call. They're talking to one another. And let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. Notice over all the earth. Notice all over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. How many know the devil's a creep, so it include that? Amen. Verse 27, so man, God created man in his own image. Man didn't create man. He didn't come out, he didn't evolve. It says God created man in his image. And in the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created he them. So, verse 28. Again, it's redundant of what verse 26 said. And God blessed them, male and female, man and woman. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. Everybody say subdue it. Sounds like dominion, don't it? He repeats it again. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So we see here that when God created man, he created man last. Because man was the purpose of the earth. In other words, everything that God created the earth and put in the earth was for man. This is why man was last. Because God was preparing the creation for his prize creation, man. Now notice it says, let them have dominion. You know what the word in verse 26, we looked at it again, verse 26, and let them have dominion. The Hebrew says, let them have complete authority. Complete authority. So God, who is the source of all life, all power, and all authority, delegated or gave dominion and authority over the earth to man. He gave it, and I'm going to say to man, to mankind, but you must understand he gave it. When I say he gave it to man, he gave it to physical human beings. That's important to understand that. Okay? Mankind. We are spirit being. We possess a soul. We live in a body. The reason why we have been given a body is because our body helps us to connect to this physical world. Our body is, God has given us, given man, a physical being, dominion over all the earth. God is a spirit. We are spirits, but we also possess a body. God's in heaven. He is a spirit, John 4:24, but he gave mankind authority over the earth. Now, he is the one that chose this. He is the one who is the source of life, I'm going to say it again, and the source of all power and authority, yet he delegated or gave dominion or authority over the entire earth to man. So God, as the creator, is the owner of the earth, but he gave dominion or complete authority over the earth to man. And there's numbers of verses that reiterates this or drives this point home. Let's look at another one. Psalms 115, verse 16. Remember, it's going to tell us that God gave control of the earth to us, man. Here's what it says. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. Now, the Passion Translation says it like this. The heavens belong to our God. They are his alone. But he has given us the earth and put us in charge. Really good. I don't know how you can be any clearer than that. And so, once again, God gave control of the earth originally. We should know this and understand it. You may know it, but it's good to understand that. I'm driving the point home. He gave it to mankind or physical human beings. Now let's look at something that Jesus quoted. I believe he quoted it in John chapter 10. And it's recorded here in Psalms 82 and verse 6. Here's what God said. I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High God. So he said, you are gods. Now notice it's little g. Now what it isn't saying is it isn't saying that we are divine beings like God is. In other words, even though we're made in likeness and image of God, it didn't say we are God. We're God-like. Okay? And we're spirit beings. But he said, you are gods. What does he mean? What did he mean by that? He wasn't saying that we're divinity. What he's saying is mankind was the original little g god or ruler over the earth. That's what God gave man the assignment of. We were to be, mankind was the little g god, not the big G. We're not God and we never will be. But we were, mankind was created as gods, or you better understand it like this, as the ruler or the rulers over the earth. You understand that? So the Lord delegated his power, his authority to man. I think we can clearly see this. But the Lord thus made mankind by doing that. You need to understand what I'm saying. By doing that, the Lord made man sovereign, the ones in control over the earth. He made man sovereign over the earth, ones in control over the earth. That's what that means. And by doing this, the Lord limited, God limited his own authority or his own sovereignty in and over the earth. Why? Because he gave it to man. You got to understand that. And so the Lord limited his sovereignty and limited his almightiness over the earth, because what did he do? He didn't stop becoming God, but he made God, he made man, the little g god, the ruler over, with the authority and dominion to rule over it that God gave him. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I'm going to repeat something. God is a spirit, John 4:24. Amen. And gave authority here to mankind, physical people. Amen. That's why, listen, it should be pretty clear to us now. That's why God and Satan, amen, who are spirit beings, need physical bodies to exercise authority here. This is why there is the body of Christ. And this is how Satan needs a body, or he wants to inhabit people, to possess them, and to use them, to motivate them, to be use them. Because what did God originally give authority to? Man. Mankind. If you're a part of the human race, then you're the one that God gave the original authority to. He gave it to Adam and Eve. They were the progenitors of the whole human race. Amen. And so man was in control of the earth. And here's the thing. God gave him that right. And he gave him the authority, the complete dominion over it. And he actually could do anything he wanted to do, because now he's in control. With one restriction. You know what the one restriction was? Was in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17. Here was man's only one restriction. And the Lord commanded, the Lord God commanded man, saying, of the tree, of every tree of the garden you may eat, you freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. The Hebrew says, in dying you shall die. See, a lot of times people get to say, well, the Bible ain't true, because Adam and Eve ate, they didn't die. They was hundreds of years later till they died. No, the Hebrew says in dying, they would die. In other words, the moment you disobey God, man died spiritually. He died spiritually. He died spiritually. His spirit was estranged from God, and he actually took on the life and the nature of of his new master. You know who his new master became? Satan. He took on his life and nature instead of God who created him. And so in dying, that's what spiritual death is, separation from God. So in dying, you shall die. So in dying spiritually, you're going to die physically. This is why there's physical death. This is why the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last enemy to be put underfoot is physical death. It is an enemy. That's why we shrink from physical death. This is why we cry. But we as believers, and we miss people. But the truth is, when you understand what the Bible teaches, We don't grieve like the world grieves. Because we know when you're dead, you're not dead like a dog. Or some animal that who only has a soul and a body. We are eternal beings that are going to live forever in heaven or hell. I know some people wondering whether Fifi or Bao Bao is going to be in heaven. Well, you know what? There's no promise on that, but there are animals going to be in heaven. So I don't know if it's going to be Fifi. Don't throw stocks. Just, you know, I shouldn't even brought that up because I mean, tell you, people get mad, boy. They get mad. You can. Don't say nothing about money, their children, or their dog. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, there's going to be animals in heaven. The Bible tells us that. It just may not be Fifi, okay? But it doesn't hurt to believe for it. Praise God. God is going, you know, God knows what you desire. Praise the Lord. But I can tell you, one looking face of Jesus, you're going to forget Fifi. I can just tell you right now. One look at Jesus, you say, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Woo, glory. All right, I messed up by talking about that. Praise the Lord. Where was I at? I think right here. Praise the Lord. Let me recover. Praise the Lord. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, remember, God gave man authority, complete dominion over the earth with one restriction in that you couldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because he warned him. He said, because of the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So you'll be estranged from me, and because you die spiritually, you're going to die physically. Now, they would not know what exactly that was other than what God told them. How could they? They never experienced anything but good. And you say, I won't even go there tonight. Praise the Lord, because I'll get sidetracked. What you must understand is this is what God said. So God gave mankind dominion, control, and authority. But when Adam and Eve sinned, which they did, and disobeyed God and obeyed Satan, they turned their authority over to Satan. And then Satan became what they were over the earth, the little g, or the ruler over this world system. That he became the God of this world. Want some scriptures for it? Good. I thought you'd never ask. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who the image of God, should shine upon them. Notice the God of this world, little g God. Who is the little g God of this world? Satan. How did he get it? By when man sinned against God, disobeyed God, the authority he had was given or transferred over to Satan, because Satan became his master by obeying him and not God. Now, whether we think that's fair or not, that's irrelevant. It's what happened, and God warned them about that. So God does not do anything that's not fair. So this is how Satan became the God, the little g God, or the ruler of this world. No wonder, y'all put up for me 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, if you would. This is why you have to understand why there's so many bad things happening in this world. It's not because we have a cruel God. It's because from the moment man sinned, this whole world, not just mankind, this whole world fell in to corruption. And we know that we are of God, talking about believers, and the whole world lies in wickedness. So God is not the author of that which is stealing, killing, and destroying in this earth. That is Satan. John 10:10. And he is not the one that is being cruel to humanity. Satan is. And the whole world lies in wickedness from the fall of man. If you do not understand that, then the Bible will not make sense to you. See, this is why a lot of times when, you know, at Christmas time or at Easter, when we talk about the birth and then the coming, the first coming of Christ through his birth, and then as a man, the death, burial, and resurrection, People just come and go like normal unless they understand why he had to come, what that all meant. You got to know what he did. And none of it makes sense until you go back to the first three chapters of Genesis and how God created man and gave man authority. And because man sinned against God, then he lost that authority. But God's plan never changed for man to rule and have dominion over this earth when man sinned. God knew man would sin because he's omniscient. He's God. But because he loves mankind, he already had a plan. He says, this is how I'm going to redeem my fallen creation. And so that's why it says that Jesus Christ was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. When man sinned and Satan rebelled as well, that didn't mess God up. That didn't ever change God's plan. This is why the great plan of redemption is so perfect. This is why it's so powerful. And what God originally created man for, it's all he gets it back for us, and it's all going. It all will be fulfilled. Hallelujah! So this is how Satan became the god of this world, and got his power and authority in the earth. He didn't get his power. Did you know that Satan did not get his power in the earth from? See, a lot of times people think, "Oh, he's got this God-given power." No, when he sinned against God, he lost the power he had as an angelic being. But so, where did he get his power from? Most of us think he got some superior angelic power that's greater than mankind. You know where Satan got his power from? His authority from? From us. Not from God, by getting man to disobey God. It was transferred to him. He knew that that's how he's going to get it. He didn't have what man had. He saw man had something he didn't have. Matter of fact, who was originally Lucifer, he was archangel. And all angels, according, they may have different assignments in different places, but all angels, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, are ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of the heirs of salvation. That's humanity. We're the heirs of salvation. So they were to become servants of mankind. Even though they excelled in might and strength, they still didn't have authority over the earth. But they were to watch over man, assist man, and do the will of God on behalf of man, and work with man. And Satan, or Lucifer at that time, saw that even man had something he didn't have. Even though he excelled in strength and might as an angel, mankind had something that he wanted, authority. He had something, and he knew that if he could get mankind to obey him, believe the lie about God, that God, you will become as gods. Oh, God didn't say. Did God really say that the day you eat shall die? That's not going to happen. He talked. He deceived. The scripture says he deceived Eve. He didn't deceive Adam. Adam willfully ate of it, knowing what it was going to mean. That's the tragedy of it all. That's why it's high treason. And it was. He transferred that authority, was given up and transferred to Satan. Now we got other scriptures that prove that. The point that I'm making, what you want to look at right here, that it came from man and not from God. So now Satan is ruling this world system through the original authority and dominion that God gave man to rule with it. He uses what was God given to us to rule over us. But if we don't know that, then here's what we do. We think he's a superior being. We think that there's nothing we can do about it. And it's all because we don't know what the Bible teaches. So let me prove to you a couple other points that are really important. Here, look in Luke chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. I better hurry up. Or next week won't be discipleship and evangelism again. Praise the Lord. Amen. But that won't hurt us. Amen. Because this is really discipleship right here. Anytime you talk about understanding your authority, it's discipleship. Praise the Lord. And the devil, taking Jesus up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. This is talking about the wilderness temptations. Okay, verse 6. And the devil said unto Jesus, all this power, all this authority, I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it. Now let me ask you a question. If did the Bible lie about this? No. If the Bible says it's a temptation, and there was a temptation of Jesus, it's a temptation. And if the Bible said that Satan said he had authority to give to Jesus that power because it was delivered to him, that wasn't a lie. If it was a lie, it wasn't a temptation. But it was a temptation. And it tells us that it was delivered to him. When do you think it was delivered to him? You already know the answer. When was it delivered to Satan? When man sinned against God, it was delivered unto him. Praise the Lord. So you're seeing that. Okay, well, I got some worse news until we get the good news. Praise the Lord. And so not only did he gain authority over the earth, Satan did, but over mankind. He not only gained it over the earth, he gained it over us. Let me give you a couple of scriptures that just, both of them in Romans. We'll turn that really quick. In Romans chapter 7 and verse number 14, it says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, fleshly, sold under sin. Now, just reading that, you don't even get it. What this word sold under sin means, it describes Satan took the ownership, or there was a transference of property. So, have you ever, you gone by the yards of homes that have a real estate sign in it? And they'll put sold across of it. What that means is there's a legal transference of property from one owner to another. That's exactly what this scripture means when it says sold under sin. Mankind not only lost his authority, but he was personal property of God, who became personal property of Satan. Satan becoming our master, as well as having the authority that once man had over the earth. Here's another scripture verse that proves this in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. It says, know you not, that means you may not know this, know you not that whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether unto sin, unto death, or to obedience, or to righteousness. So he's letting us know this is a divine principle. Before this was ever written, this is what was going on in the very beginning. In other words, who you yield yourself and obey, you become servant to. What does that mean? It means that becomes your master. This is why we're only to obey God. Come on. Because sin is going to produce death, obedience to God is going to produce righteousness. Hallelujah. You're servants. You become servants to whom you obey. So this is why we can become servants of God, because we can obey him by making Jesus the Lord of our life. But until that time, we're not only servants of Satan, he is our master. And he has a legal right to claim our souls unless Jesus is our Lord. Now, this is why Jesus had to come. This is the very reason why Jesus had to come, because he had to redeem mankind. I hope you understand that. He had to redeem us. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness. That word power is the word authority. Or you could, other translations call it the dominion of darkness. Who had the dominion of darkness? Satan. And that's talking about his kingdom. And have translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. In other words, we once were owned by God. Amen. Or Adam was, at least. The moment we sinned, we became the property of Satan. But the moment we found out about Jesus and called his name, repented of his sins, called over his name and saved, We were like that soul sign that says soul. In other words, and there was a transference of property from one kingdom to another, from the kingdom and authority of darkness to the kingdom and authority of God's dear Son. Can I get amen in here tonight? So in whom, verse 14 says, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, even the remission of sin, the forgiveness of sin. So, yes, salvation provided the forgiveness of our sins so we could be saved. But we also have to understand that the scripture says he rescued us. One translation says, from the authority of darkness. He did all of this so that we could be forgiven, saved, and back as God's property again. We're restored as God's property again. But he also came. Listen, Jesus also came. As important as it is for us to be saved, to be forgiven, to be saved, and become God's children, his property again. Listen, Jesus didn't stop there. He also came to gain authority or dominion and control back to man that man lost back at the fall. And he did it through the great plan of redemption. He did it when he redeemed mankind. This is why Jesus came for both purposes. To save and to restore authority back to its rightful owners. Who is its rightful owners? Mankind. You and I. Amen. Praise God. But it won't be ours until we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. That's when we get it back. Not because he won it back, but because we have a transference of property. The moment we become God's property, we get not only saved, but we get that authority back. It's for every born-again believer. I said it's for every child of God. Hallelujah. This is how God did it. This is how God did it. Listen, by sending Jesus. God in the flesh. In other words, God became a man. And because he became a physical, because he became a man and a physical human being, God, listen, could rightfully exercise authority in the earth again through Jesus Christ. And this is why he is known as the second Adam. Because the first Adam had that authority. Jesus called the second Adam because he had that same authority. And the reason why God could operate in the earth is because Jesus, God, the second person of the Godhead, became a man. And God, in order to exercise authority in the earth, had to have a body to exercise it through. And not just anybody. A sinless, spotless body. One that was 100% man and 100% God, that its blood was perfect. And could atone for our sin. Not only saving us and redeeming us and getting us from one kingdom to another, but restoring what was lost at the fall, our authority. And because he was a man, Jesus, God had someone to work in and through to accomplish his will again legally. Because God does everything legally. God did everything, has to do everything legally. Remember when God originally gave Adam and Eve, the first man Adam, but he gave Adam and Eve authority over the earth. That meant that God was no longer, you got to get this, when he gave it to Adam and Eve, God himself was no longer in direct control or authority over the earth. Man was. He then could only function, in other words, from that time on, God could only function in the earth through people. Physical human beings yielded to him on the earth. That's why even when lost people could pray, they had a physical body. They could ask God to do. It gave God the right to do something in the earth. You know why? Because people were asking him. Same thing is true on the other side. The reason why Satan could do something in the earth is because he was the ruler, but he had to have people to work through. And all through the Bible, we see evil people inspired, yielded to the devil. How does he have control in this earth through them? Oh, I don't think it takes too long to look at the news or look in the world condition to see he's using people today. That's how it's happening. Now, I know there's unseen spirits that are influencing them. I understand. You better understand that. But in order for them to have that highest level of effectiveness, they have to have a body. They have to have a person that's yielded to them. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. So through Jesus, God could have authority again in the earth. And then after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and the victory that over Satan that Colossians 2:15 tells us, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly triumphant over them in it. He won that authority back. If y'all would find for me a Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, I didn't put that up, but this is good. Went through Jesus, God had authority back on this earth. And Jesus was the one who not only paid the price for us to be saved, to become sons and daughters of God, but he won at that authority back. And that what God's plan original was restored back to mankind, saved mankind. He says this, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. That's talking about authority. The word keys there is always refers to authority. We can look at many of the scriptures that talk about that, but it's talking about the authority. He stripped the authority. He went to hell on our behalf when the claims of justice was satisfied. He was raised from the dead, and he took the keys of that authority that Satan won, obtained, and he took it, and he retrieved it. Now, because Satan still has a legal right to be here, the only way he can still operate is through fallen man that either are ignorant or consent or obey him, because he has a legal right here to still be here until Jesus returns and his second coming, and to set all things right. But until that time, God sure do appreciate his church to understand that we have gained the authority that was lost. And he has a body. I ain't just talking about you and you and you and me. He has a whole body, the body of Christ. And members in particular. He has a body in this earth. He wished his body understood this, because if the body really understood this, we'd operate differently and better. I'm trying to, and I'm trying to help us, and I'm trying to walk in it in a greater way as well. I'm sure you are too. Jesus won that authority back. And then here's the great news. He not only won it back, but then he shared that authority with us. And now once again, we have authority, and that's why we can resist the devil. This is why we can submit ourselves to God and resist the devil. Now, we could say, like we began with, we can resist the devil. Everybody say, well, I know I can resist the devil. You've taught us that, Pastor Chris. Well, I've read this in the Bible. But now you know why you have it. Now you know why you can resist the devil. And by knowing why and who has the authority, then hopefully this will motivate you to yell a loud no to the devil. And understand the things that are happening either comes against us, you can't stop everything from happening. In other words, you can't prevent everything from coming against you. There's bad things happen to good people, but when bad things happen, you have authority to change it. But we have to exercise it. We have to exercise it. Amen. And Jesus shared that authority with us. And now once again, we have authority, and that's why we can resist the devil, because we have the authority to do so. Now, if we had time, we'll stop with this. In Matthew 28, I don't even know if I told them to put this up, but there's a whole list. There's no, turn to Matthew 28, and we'll read verse 19. We'll read verse 19 together. Nowhere in the New Testament, thank you, Brother Ryan, nowhere in the New Testament does it tell us to do something, to ask God to do something about the devil for us. It only tells us to do something with the devil. Why? Because God's not the one that, listen, God's given us the authority, and unless we exercise it, nothing will be done. Because you know why? Jesus gave us that authority. Won it back and gave it to us. He's in heaven. His body's on the earth. And guess what he needs? Why, guess who has to exercise the authority? The body. The body that's in the earth has to exercise the authority. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and... Okay, I'm sorry, verse 18. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. When it says go ye therefore, it means go likewise. In other words, it is God sending us, Jesus sending us with the authority that he won from Satan. That authority has been restored. This is why he said, all authority has been given to me. Go ye therefore. He's transferred. There's a transference of authority. Let me tell you something. The difference between Adam's authority and ours is this. Adam had unlimited authority. We do not. God will never give us unlimited authority. It has to be, listen, so that man could not get into the part again he originally messed up in. Why? Because Jesus is the head, we're the body. Jesus will never break it. Man may mess it up, but God says, I'm going to make it so that it's between the Son and me. The Son and him. And we're in him. No man is ever going to be able to sin and give that authority back to Satan again. This time, we have limited authority. That means just what I said. Who has all authority? Jesus. He's given us his authority. Part of it. It's delegated. It's all we need. And what he mainly told us to do, see, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's the proclamation and the demonstration of the gospel and doing the works of Jesus that we're called to do. That's what we have authority to do. To do his works and to destroy the devil's works. Listen, as much as I want the world to be better, there's not going to be a political Messiah. There's never going to be a total government change. The Bible doesn't teach that. The church isn't going to rise up to some level that is going to change all the governments of the world. The Bible doesn't teach that. You hear some people in high places talk about those kinds of things. It's called dominion or kingdom authority. That's not theology. It's not in the Bible. That, you know what's going to change this earth? Is when Jesus returns and sets his millennial kingdom up on the earth. No man is going to take the glory. No government is going to completely change. That doesn't mean we don't vote righteously, we don't speak, and we don't work to get the right people in place. That does not mean that. It just means this. Our hope, our only hope, is in Jesus Christ. And so, once again, there'll be no political Messiah. There's no going to be no government that's our answer, or no system that's going to be fixed to correct everything, because we live in a world system that's still under Satan's control. You can see it. If you can't see how wicked things are in this earth, and how Isaiah 5, I'm trying to close, Isaiah 5 verse 20 tells us that the last days will look just like this. He says they're going to call, here's what mankind's going to do. It's going to call evil good and good evil. It's going to call darkness light and light darkness. It's going to call bittersweet and sweet bitter. And that's exactly what they're doing today. And if you and I confront it, we're haters, we're bigots, we're Nazis, and the list goes on. But the truth is, Jesus warned us that if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And he says, they hate me, I'll read it and we'll close. Here's what Jesus said. You say, where is it at? It's in John. It's in John 7, verse 7, I believe it is. Let me turn there and just read this. He says, the world cannot hate you, but it'll hate me, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. One translation says, I denounce it for its wicked work. It's wicked works, and reveal that its doings are evil. And the moment you do that, the world hates you. And you become the problem. So this is why Jesus warned us about persecution in the last days. Get ready. But I'm not concerned about that. This is why I'm going to love my life even unto death. I don't plan on dying, but I will die for my faith if I have to. I don't plan on going that way. I'm believing the trumpet's going to sound. But you know what? I'm ready to go either way. Because to be absent from the body is the presence of the Lord. The point that I'm making is that Jesus said it would come, persecution would come, but the truth is we don't have to be afraid of that. What we have to do is be about the Father's business. The whole time the disciples, the apostles, what did they do? They went about teaching and preaching. They did exactly what Jesus did. People hated them, persecuted them, but it caused the church to rise up even to a greater level. And let me tell you something. I'm seeing the church rise up to a whole new level. A whole new level. And with it, hallelujah, you got the answer. Because what we're to do, listen, our answer has never changed. It's the proclamation and the demonstration of the gospel, for it's the power of God to unto salvation. And that's what we're called to do while we're destroying the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Hope this has helped you tonight. Of course, we didn't have time to go through all the other scriptures that the New Testament teaches us, that shows us that God gave us that authority, and we have that authority now. There's five or six other ones that beyond Matthew 28 that Jesus or the apostles taught us that, no, we don't pray to God about the devil. We exercise authority over the devil. It does you no good to talk to God about the devil, ask Him to do something about the devil, because you're to do it. Because as a believer, you're in authority. Now, the world don't have that authority, but we do. Jesus won it back for us. And those that are not in the kingdom of God can get in the kingdom of God and have this authority. The reason why we want them in the kingdom of God, many people live and die, never know they got in authority. Because we focus on this first side about getting them saved and into their sins forgiven, getting them saved and get them in the family of God. That's very important. That's the first step. But if it stops there, they're going to be, even though they're saved, they are going to be weak, because we were designed to exercise authority over the devil. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians pray.